has done. He so loved the world that he gave us his son, who gave up his life, the forgiveness of sin. The gates open wide, he has welcomed us in. Oh, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Oh, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, his Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord! To God be the glory. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender, from Jesus a pardon receives. Oh, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Oh, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus his Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord, praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Oh, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Oh, Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Oh, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus his Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord, to God be the glory.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord, to God be the glory.
Praise the Lord. Man, let's praise him together. He's worthy of worship. The song we sing, I'm So Blessed, says, on the good days, I'm a child of God. On the bad days, I'm a child of God. What must have Job been thinking on the bad days? But he still had a faith. He did not deny the Lord. So let's do the same. This song is actually based on the book of Job.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in a desert place. Go on through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering, for there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
This morning. So glad you're here, part of our early contemporary worship. Take a few moments and welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today. Good to have you.
Amen. Thank y'all for being here today, and what a great time of celebration. We get a chance to encourage one another as we gather together. You may be seated as we continue to sing. Christy's going to lead us as we sing about the goodness of God. And I hope that you'll allow the fruit of the Spirit to just be more evident in your life as you show God's goodness and His mercy and love to one another as a church family, but even beyond the church walls. In your daily life, in your business work, in your school, in your community, in your sports activities and music and other kind of activities that you're involved in, that you might display the goodness of God.
From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so
sometimes you'll hear a word or so, and you'll just picture something in your mind. We were singing that, "Your goodness is running after me." I couldn't help but think of the prodigal son, how he must have felt. When from a distance, he saw him coming and took off and ran. That's the goodness of God coming after you and me. How many of us are like the prodigal son, the younger son, that have drifted away, gotten away from God, fallen in sin. And God has come running after us. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Sing it with me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Ushers, you'll come. Father, thank you for worship. And for the opportunity to express to you our love, gratitude, gratefulness through words that we speak, songs that we sing, offerings that we give. Thank you, Father, that your love for us is running after us constantly. Thank you that you love us that much. In all things today, Father, through this time of worship, we give you praise and honor and glory. In Christ we pray. Amen.
After this, I looked, and there in heaven was an open door. The first voice that I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and a throne was set there in heaven. One was seated on the throne, and the one seated looked like a jasper and a carnelian stone. A rainbow that looked like an emerald surrounded the throne. Around that throne were 24 thrones, and on the throne sat 24 elders dressed in white clothes with gold crowns on their heads. Flashes of lightning and rumblings of thunder came from the throne. Seven fiery torches were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits. Everyone around the throne, living creatures, singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is coming." Day and night, they never stop.
Worthy is the
struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power.
Stillness and the holiness of this moment, we adore you. We worship you. Cleanse us now. Make us right with you so that we can worship you continuously, day and night, and never stop. I pray for Joel now as he comes that you'll strengthen him as he delivers the word. And I pray that we will worship you as we listen to the holy word of God. As we listen to the words that Joel has prepared to share with us as our pastor, I pray that you'd help us to grow moment by moment in intimacy in our relationship with you. And help us to grow moment by moment in our understanding of the scriptures so that we might share our knowledge and our love with other people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you for leading us into the presence of the Father. And today, that's holiness of God, sovereignty of God. Our character is Job, the great character of Job. Job chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 40. So we'll kind of take a little peek at the beginning of the book, and then we'll kind of jump to the end and kind of see where this all kind of plays out. In 2016, I did a series on the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And I started that series at the very first Sunday of 2016. My plan was just to do 3 or 4 months, but I couldn't stop. I could not let it go. So I kept going into the spring. And I tried to stop and go to do something else, and I couldn't. I couldn't stop. So I did it all summer. And then I thought, well, we'll change and do something in the fall and move into, you know, Christmas with something else. I couldn't stop. I could not stop. I loved that series. If you want to ask me, Joel, of all the series that you've done, what's your favorite? This one is right. That one was right at the top. The wisdom literature of the Old Covenant. Because everything in the wisdom literature, from Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, even Song of Solomon, everything points us to the gospel. So every single Sunday and Wednesday night, we ended with the good news of the gospel. And I love that series. Oh, how I love that series. The series asked this one question. How do we live wise in an unwise world? How do we live with wisdom in a world with no wisdom? How do you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, live biblical wisdom, biblical truth, and allow that biblical wisdom to saturate these minds and these hearts and these bodies and these lives that we live? How do we live with God's sovereignty and God's holiness and God's righteousness and God's wisdom and allow that wisdom to just be poured into us in a world that is the exact opposite. How do you live with biblical wisdom in a world that has no wisdom? None. And here's what's crazy about that. I did that series in 2016. 4 years before the silliness of COVID. Can you imagine how good that series would be now after the silliness of COVID? Ugh. I don't want to start that next week. Nah, I'm just kidding. Our character is Job. Job was so instrumental in helping us to live with biblical wisdom in a world with no wisdom. And so the story begins by telling us who he is and why he was chosen to stand up against Satan. Job chapter 1 verses 1 through 5. There was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God. He stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes. And they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. This was a regular practice of this man named Job. So Job lived during the patriarchal period, and he was an exceptionally successful and spiritual man. He was the wealthiest dude in the entire ancient Near East during his time. And it was the custom of the family that when the sons would have a birthday, they would celebrate. And they would invite the entire family over to celebrate these birthdays. Job was a man of integrity. The scripture says that he was blameless. Now, when the scripture says in the Old Testament that he was blameless or that somebody was blameless, that doesn't mean they were perfect. That's not our word for blameless. All right? It's not that he was perfect, that he was sinless, that he had no sin in his life whatsoever. We're going to find that out as we kind of move through the book of Job. Job had his problems. Job had his issues, just like I do, just like you do. But when it says that Job was blameless, it simply means this, that Job loved God and Job worshiped God and Job served God. King David, it says, was a man after God's own heart. So that's the same truth there. Job simply loved the Lord. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't sinless. He just loved God and he loved serving God. Steve Brown writes, the narrator doesn't spend much time describing Job before turning his attention to the heavenly court, where Satan appears among the angels. In the interchange between Satan and the Lord, it is established that Satan would put Job's faith to the test. God doesn't simply give permission. The Lord, in fact, initiates the whole thing, drawing out Satan's true thoughts about Job by asking him about the man. Under the Lord's sovereign providence, Satan causes Job to lose his children, his servants, his fortune. But Job does not waver. He blesses the name of the Lord, acknowledging that the Lord is ultimately in control. Satan then wanted to prove that Job's love for God was simply his love for God simply because all of the things that God had given to him. He didn't love God for God's character, for God's sovereignty, for God's holiness, for God's righteousness. He loved God because God showered all of these great wealthy blessings on him. And so that's why Job loved the Lord. So we move on to chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. One day the members of the heavenly court came again to present themselves to the Lord. The accuser Satan came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord. I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man of all the earth. He's blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God. He stays away from evil, and he has maintained his integrity even though you urged him to harm him without cause. Satan replied to the Lord, skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his own life. But reach out and take away his health, he'll turn. He'll surely curse you to your face. All right. Do with him as you please, the Lord said to Satan, but spare his life. So Satan left the Lord's presence, and he struck Job with terrible boils and from his head to his foot. Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Be done with this." But Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only the good things that come from the hand of God and never any of the bad things that come from God?" So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. So Job's love for and Job's trust in God was so great that he willingly submitted himself to God's sovereign providence. Whether the Lord gives, whether the Lord takes away, as the song that we sang, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job recognized God was in control, and that God, sovereign God, has the right to do with his servant just as he sees fit. Instead of admitting defeat, however, Satan claimed, "The Lord didn't let me do enough." There's a shallow faith here. As long as his health is intact, he's all right. So purposing to vindicate Job and the depth of his faith, God allowed Satan to afflict his body. And so at this point in the trial, Job's wife then demonstrated her very much or lack of understanding as who God really is. She said, "Curse the Lord and die." But Job didn't waver, refusing to commit such a grave sin even in the midst of such great pain. So Job's wife then becomes the illustration or the perfect picture of the world that you and I live in. And it's the way this always been. It was this way in Job's day. And it's this way today. And she becomes this perfect picture of the world. And she becomes, for those of us who are American Christians, she becomes even the greater picture of America and who America or what America really is. God's all right. He's cool. He's fine. But as soon as God is no longer acting in my image, when God is no longer doing things the way that I want God to do things, when God is no longer guiding and doing the way that I want him, when he's not answering the questions that I want him to answer, then all of a sudden, curse God and die. Is that not the perfect picture of America? Yes. As long as God's in my image, does it the way I want it done, whatever it is, then I'm okay with God. But just as soon as God doesn't do what I want him to do, the way that I want it done, I'll run my own life. I'll do my own thing. I'll be in charge. When I first got into the ministry, I got to really thinking about this. And I got to really praying about this. When I first got into the ministry, and somebody would talk to me about their anger with the Lord, because God didn't do, or God didn't say, or God didn't lead, or it didn't work out, turn out the way that they wanted it to work out or to turn out, and they had this kind of pent up anger with God the Father, then I made this huge mistake, because I wasn't deep enough in the Word and deep enough in the gospel and the good news of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus yet, to where I would offer this silly, silly, silly word, and I would say things like this to people. I would say, "Well, God is big enough and sovereign enough to handle your anger. It's okay that you're angry with God because God didn't do this the way that you thought he should. He didn't answer the prayer the way that you think he should answer the prayer. And it's okay that you're mad. You're all right that you're angry with God. And boy, I am nowhere near that anymore. The Lord has changed me. Not because of 2016. That happened many years ago. 2016, through the wisdom literature, it just confirmed it once more. But now, if somebody comes to me and they're blaming God, they're mad at God, God didn't do it, then I no longer give people a pass. And usually I'll start out with saying something like this: well, aren't you special? Aren't you holy? That you, the God who put the stars into place, sovereign God who created all that is and all that ever will be, the one who has given us life everlasting, abundant, and free in his Son Jesus, you have been so wonderful and so great that you get to question sovereign God. Isn't that awesome? I just am bathing in the glory of being in your presence. I'm so glad you came to me with this. And then I'll look at somebody and say, you need to repent. You need to be on your face before holy God saying, I'm so sorry, God. I am so sorry. You are sovereign God. We skip over toward the end of this great story and we get toward the end. God pauses and he gives Job a chance to respond, and Job spends 37 chapters that we do not have time to go through, but he defines God, he explains God, he reviews God, and we get the impression over these 37 chapters that Job knows more about God than God knows about God. And so God sits and he listens and he listens and he listens, and then when Job is finally done telling God who he is and what he is and what he's about, then God responds in chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You're God's critic. But do you have all the answers, Job? Then Job replied to the Lord, I'm nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will cover my mouth with my hand. I have said too much, and I have nothing more to add. So Job is finally getting the point. He is a finite creature who has no wisdom to run this world, who is utterly ignorant of 99.9% of all of its processes. He has no business whatsoever instructing the creator and the ruler how to run this world that he is in charge of. Lucado writes, does Job get the message? I think so. Listen to his response. I'm not worthy. I cannot answer you anything. So I will put my hand over my mouth. Notice the change. Before he heard God, Job couldn't speak enough. After he heard God, he couldn't speak at all. Like Job, we find peace in pain. Like Job, you cover your mouth and sit still. Be still and know that I am God. The verse from Psalm 46:10 contains a command with a promise. The command, be still, cover your mouth, bend your knees. The promise, you will know that I am God. In the midst of your daily storms, make it a point to be still and set your sights on Him. Let God be God. Let Him bathe you in His glory so that both your breath and your troubles are sucked from your soul. Be still, be quiet, be open, be willing. Then you will know that God is God, and you will not be able to help but confess, hallowed be thy name. Job, he ends the story showing us what prayer and the Word, that's what prayer and the Word looks like. In the gospel, God has provided for us life everlasting, life abundant, and the freedom from the condemnation of my sin. The greatest gift of all. And God has provided for us His sovereignty, His holiness, His righteousness. And you and I today can talk about God. We can speak to God. We can pray. We can offer our worship and adoration and praise to Him because of what He has given to us in Jesus. Because of Christ, you and I have the Father. And there is no greater gift. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, thank you for the great story of Job. Thank you, Father, for his holiness and righteousness, trusting in you. Thank you, Father, that we also see his sinful humanity. Thank you, Lord, that you reveal to us who you are in this great story. And that remains true through the wisdom literature, through the gospel, the good news, and will remain true for all eternity. That is our trust. That is our faith. And we're thankful for that trust and faith today, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can bless your holy name today. Seek out your face, your holiness, and your righteousness. In Christ we pray. Amen. You are my King, amazing love. That is the song that we're going to sing as our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ before, then we encourage that today. You need to come. I'll be here to receive you and to pray with you about that decision. If you need to come and join our church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing. Please be seated just for a moment. Joseph and Kelly, where are y'all? Yeah, Joseph and Kelly, come up here real quick. Joseph and Kelly are headed back to Southeast Asia, to Thailand. Joseph is a Bible translator for Wycliffe, and they went over there several years ago. COVID hit, and they had to come home. And they've been home with us. When did y'all come home? Was it 2020 or 2021? 21. So they've been home with us for a while. And they're going back. So they are headed back. They came home. I told them just a few minutes ago. They came home. It was just two of them. And now Joseph says, and now we got a tag along. So they're going back three. And so they're headed to Thailand. And so we, as one of their church families, and Joseph's home church, we support them, we pray for them, and in many different ways we support this family. And so before they head back, they're going to Kelly's mom and dad's for a couple of weeks. And then middle of June, June 15, something like that, they are headed back to Southeast Asia. So we want to pray for them as they go. As one of their church families, we want to pour our time and our hearts and our prayer in them. So join me as we pray for Joseph and Kelly. Father, thank you so much for this family. Thank you for their calling on both of their lives, Father, to be missionaries, to follow you. And Father, we pray for them as they go. Thankful that they've been home with us, that we've been able to watch them as they continue to grow and do the work that you've called them to do remotely, but now able to go back and be on the field. So Father, we're thankful for that blessing. Strengthen them, encourage them. Thank you for this home church that will continue to pray for them as they go. In all things, Father, bless their lives. Thank you for this precious little baby that you've brought into their lives. Bless them as they take her with them, Father. In all things, we give you praise and honor and glory for the work that you do in them and will continue to do in them. In Jesus I pray. Amen. 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 All right. Thank y'all. Pray for Joseph and Kelly. And then Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, at 6:30, here in the sanctuary, then Joseph and Kelly are just going to tell us, this is what we're doing. This is where we're going. This is how you can pray. This is how you can help. This is what you can do. And then we'll have a time of question and answer. So 6:30, our summer schedule, our spring schedule is over. No more supper. Children's ministry will do things every so often on Wednesday nights, but this Wednesday night, nothing. I think Warren will continue youth ministry. They'll also, you youth and youth parents, keep up with Warren on your schedule for the summer as well. But this Wednesday night, 6:30, here in the sanctuary, encourage you to come, listen, pray with Joseph and Kelly as they think about where the Lord is leading them and how we can help. All right, what we got first? Last Sunday in the 10:30 worship, Havana was baptized. And so when you get the chance to see Havana, then you make sure that you say a word of encouragement to her. All right? And then David and Teresa, they came last Sunday in the 10:30 worship to join us here at First Baptist Church. When you see them, make sure that you say a word of encouragement. Vacation Bible School coming up June 4 through 7. Registration, you can do that with Micah through the children's ministry, all right? Kids Camp Parent Meeting tonight, 4 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall, right before we go to Outflow. So Kids Parent Meeting for Camp in the Fellowship Hall, all right? Gridiron Men Conference, the sign-up sheet on the Old Lord's Supper Table, June 16, 17, 15 places available. So if you'd like to go, if you need to talk to somebody about that, see Elliot or Brian, and they will give you information about Gridiron Men's Conference, all right? Ken? Warren?
Wednesday night worship.
Wednesday night worship, all right. So tonight is Outflow. It is our third annual Outflow, 5 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. And this year we're going to do Outflow, just like Outflow was originally started with Warren and Chris and all that crew. So Ken will have one of the buses, and you can jump on one of the bus, that bus with Ken. Micah will have one of the buses. You can jump on the bus with Micah. Two different groups going that way. I will have my Suburban, and I will take a group with me. And then Amanda will be doing cookies for, I don't even know, what do we do the cookies for? Yeah, all right. And so Amanda will be leading that and taking families that want to go and deliver the cookies to those things. And then if we have more, we hope we do, if we have more, then we'll split up into other groups. And this group will go, two families might go in a vehicle and go and do Outflow somewhere. So we'll give all those instructions tonight when we get here. We've got our money. We're ready to go. We're ready to pass it out and hit the streets. So it'll be a lot of fun, and it'll be a great night of being able to take the gospel out into the streets of Gunnersville. So 5 o'clock, we'll be here. We'll kind of split up and figure out who's going to go with what group. That's the great thing about Outflow. It's planned, and yet at the same time, it's just, all right, Lord, take us out. And so that works out really, really well. 5 o'clock here in the fellowship hall. All right, let's all stand and close. Is that it? All right, stand and close by singing House of the Lord.
There is joy in this house.
There is joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
There's joy in the house of the Lord.
There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.